Okay, so we are in the middle of Bishalakam. And not Bishalakam, sorry. Chalavakam. And the question we were discussing was, what's the halacha when you are very convinced that there's no Chalav Tamei mixed in, but you don't actually have Yisrael being Roa the Chaliva? What's halacha? We quoted the Tashbates as Raya, and we talked about how you can go. And another Raya is from the Gemara Daf Lamed Chasim Beis. The Gemara there says, the Gemara quotes a brisa. Yoshev Yisrael b'tzad edro shalok kochavim vav kochavim chol eiflo umevi lo ve'eno choshesh. So the Gemara says, hechi dami ida lakadam etam be'edro pshita. It's obviously mutter if there's no davertam be'edro. Ve'ida kadavertam be'edro, so then why should it be mutter? And the Gemara answers that we're talking about a case where he's sitting and he could stand up and he could see it, and that creates a situation of mirsus, and therefore it's mutter. But really what we want to talk about now is the line of the Gemara that says, "I deleka davar tam ve'edro pshita." Pshita is mutter. Even though, now, but 1 second, isn't there an obligation to have a Yisrael be Roa the Chaliva? So there's 2 ways you can read the Gemara. And there's already Machlokes Rishonim. Some Rishonim, like the Tashbates, say, pshita it's mutter. In other words, you don't even need Yisrael Ro'ehu as long as there's no practical concern. So if there's like a davar tamei ve'edro, it's pashat. Or you could say no. This is the opinion of the Mordechai, Rabbeinu Peretz, and the like. They say no. E deleka davar tamei ve'edro, it's pshita, that if he's yoshef b'tzad edro, it's enough. You don't need to actually see the milking, because as long as you're yoshev b'tzad edro, so, you know, that's considered equivalent to a riyah. But if leka davertam be'edro, and you didn't even have yeshiva b'tzad, so then that could still be aser. Now, then the question is going to be, within the machmir view, would they agree that if there's really no concern at all, like there's like a devartami we call it ear, or not? That's unclear. And it's, what would the machmir view say about that? So as I mentioned before, this is a big machlokas in the Rishonim and then in the Achronim. The Tashbates Mekel brings a number of Rayas Lahakel. He tries to argue even the Mordechai Rabbeinu Peretz that I mentioned before is still going to be agreed to him. We don't have time, but he's a beautiful pshat in the Rambam, arguing that the Rambam also agrees to him. The Radvaz is also among the Mekelim, and he brings Rais Lahakel. Now, obviously, we all know that the Chassam Sofer is Machmir. Is there anyone before the Chassam Sofer that was Machmir? So I think there's a Diuk in the Kesef Mishnah, and also the Mari Brona, that they both do hold something maybe similar to the Chassam Sofer. But the Ikar Raya, actually, that the Chassam Sofer brings is from Rashi. Remember, Rashi said that we have to be concerned that even when the guy milks the cow for making cheese and then turns into cheese, still it's a problem. A Bani Yifito says, what kind of crazy guy would do it? And Rashi's saying, no, the concern is not out the Davar Tamei Shebo, but the Chalav Akum, which is Aser, even if it's Vade from Davar Tamei, that's Bani Yifito. However, the Chassam Sofer's reading of Rashi is very questionable, as the Achronim note, among them, the Chazonish and the like. It's a very shver raya. Now, there are going to be those that are machmir, like the Chassam Sofer, even if they don't really think that raya from Rashi is particularly compelling. But let's for a moment go back to the Mekelim. And the Mekelim basically give two situations where they're mako. One is a bigger chiddush than the other. One is basically where there's no Chalav Tamei around. Now, how you define that a little bit depends on whether you think the concern is only for camels or the concern is for other tame animals as well, like we said, you know, donkeys. If you held that the only concern is animals, and yet there were machmir, let's say, in all of Eastern Europe, right? I don't think there are any camels around Eastern Europe, no camels in Poland. So then you'd see for sure there were machmir, even though there's no chash tame. But if you say, no, we're also bad, and we have to be concerned about the donkeys or horses or the like, so then that wouldn't be such a raya. Anyhow, but one tzad der mekel is basically that a number of the Rishonim who do seem to be focused more on the concern for camels, they say, look, there's no gemalim minikos in the city, and therefore it should be mutter. Then they say an even bigger chiddush, which is, and even if there are, since camel milk, let's say, is much more expensive than cow's milk, you don't have to worry about it. As we mentioned earlier, there's no, generally speaking, no chash of chilufin unless the guy is going to be somehow nana mimenu. So no guy would be nana, even if there is horse milk or camel milk available. It's much more expensive. So therefore, that too is going to be mutter. Now, as I said, among the Mekilim is also the Pri Chadash, who's making under both of those cases. But the question is, what does the Rama and the Shach and the Gra, what do, I guess, the more classical Sfarim hold like? So the truth is that there's a shtickle stiros in these Mefarshim. It's not so clear what they hold, and you could really make a case l'kan l'kan. One, Diuk l'hachmir, from the Rama, is like this. If you look at the beginning of Sif Aleph, he writes, So the Mashgiach shows up late, right? The guy's already milked half the cows, and then he sees the other half. It's going to be mutter, implying that it's mutter in this case where he saw the chaliva of at least part of it, right? But most of it. Otherwise, it would be asr. In other words, even though there's no chalav tamei round, or at least it's not matzoi, you still need chalav yisrael. It's just that there's certain kulas that will have chalav yisrael because there's not davar tamei round. The tricky part is not at all clear what this means. The shach is very bothered by this. So that's a possible tzad l'hachmir in the Ramah. Tav l'hakel in the Ramah is a little later on. He writes, "V'shifcho shalchavos habehemos b'veis Yisrael the deer shalhen kol makom she'ein beis ob chavim nafsek ve'en lachos l'davar tamei mutter avil chatchil al niachos l'chalev." You could let the shvachos who aren't Jewish to milk, assuming that there's no interruption between your house and where they're doing it. Afal b'she'en shem Yisrael klal. Nobody's watching it at all. Me'achshu v'veis Yisrael v'shchunaso. It sounds like he's saying, since there's no practical concern, it's going to be mutter. Again, you could be doth the raya, because you could say that's only because it's sort of like Yisrael Ro'ehu, since it's Beveis Yisrael, B'shchunas Yisrael, but otherwise it would be Aser. So, from the Ramah, unclear, at least so far. Now, maybe a raya for the Chassam Sofer's approach. Again, what is the Chassam Sofer's approach? Chassam Sofer's approach is that even when there is no concern whatsoever, of chalav tamei, no practical concern, you know, as far as we know, zero chance. But still, as a davar minyan, bottle of tamei, lobatach tkana, and it's also no matter what, regardless of the practical concern. I'll tell you what he passed, and he sort of says a double chumra. He says, and even if I'm wrong, and the Pri Chadash, the Tashbetz, the Radvaz are right, so then the minig is to be machmir, in which case it's even, it's a deraisa chumra. It's minig, it's like a neder. It's maybe a chiddush. Even though Chassam Sofer doesn't usually say that, he only says that rarely. Others disagree with that point. They say, no, if it's already machlokas aposkim, even if the practice is to be machmir, somebody can only hakel, doesn't have the benefit of minig for machmir, after they talk, it's like a dindaraisa. Anyway, but that's what Chassam Sofer says. So, forget the neder part of his chiddush. His ikar svar is it right or wrong? So there's a shtickle raya. First we'll bring a raya for the Ramah and the Shach and the Graf for the Chassam Sofer, and then we'll bring a raya against the Chassam Sofer. So the raya for the Chassam Sofer is in Siv Beis. Siv Beis, as you know, is talking about cheese. It says like this in Ramah, Avimra asiya sagvino solo rachalika ye shlahat b'diavet ki en lacho shama irev bo davar tameh. It's we pass on lactosis, at least b'diavad. So if the guy milked a cow and then turned it to cheese, and the Yisrael saw the cheesing or made it so that it's mutter. In other words, it sounds like the Ramah. Let's say a guy milked a cow for the purpose of making cheese. So if he turns into cheese and cheese mutter, right? Assuming, let's say, a Jew's watching. But if a Jew says, oh, no, I'd like to drink that milk, then it's still aser. But why? We just said there's no shash. So what do you see? You see that as long as it's in the form of milk, it's Baal Yisrael in the form of milk. So then it's aser, regardless of there not being any shash. And that's what it sounds like from the shach over there. Sifkan Chavav, he writes, Me'acha shalai rach liva afilu yadanu shenasa lochan lasas vinos, it's still aser. Also, the grass sounds that way. He makes a deal like that from Sif Aleph. Anyhow, so that's Raya from the Ramah, the Shach, the Graf for the Chassam Sofer. What's a Raya from against the Chassam Sofer from the Shach and the Graf? It's like this. this is in Sifkan Chaf and Shach. The Shach is talking, is there disagreeing with Ramah. We'll just jump ahead for a moment. We know that there's also a din that you need Venus Yisrael. So the question is, what makes something Venus Yisrael? So the Ramah holds that simply a Jew watching the process of cheese making is going to make a mutter, just like we hold by milk, that Yisrael Roehu is sufficient to make a chal of Yisrael. So too, if you have Yisrael Roehu for Vina, that's also good enough. And the Shach vehemently disagrees. He says, no, that there's a total huge difference between Vina and Chalav, and that when it comes to Vina, you'll need actual Jewish participation to have it. Venus Yisrael, for example, the Jew should put in a rennet. Generally speaking, we try to be machmir for the sheet of the Shach. I think we're also passing that way. Now listen to how the Shach puts it. I'm reading from the middle of Sifkan Chaf. Elvadai in l'chalik bin via ra Yisrael asiyas agvinos alo kem shasul cham agvinos shalok uchavim kol agvinos asru. Basically, that Venus akum we paskin is a low plug. Right? For example, the Rambam writes, even if it's, the Rambam quotes Machlokas in the Gaon about it, but the way we paskin is Venus Akon is definitely Damash Rabinian, and it's Aser regardless, and even Hamidu Basavim, or they use synthetic rennet, or the like, it's a Aser. So don't compare this to Chalav. Chalav Akum is basically a practical concern. So then Yisrael Roeh is enough. Venus Akum is a Damash Rabinian, it's a low plug, it's nothing to do with a practical concern, but even if there's no practical concern, it's still Aser. Now, what do you see from here? You see from here that the Shach seems to say that, in a sense, Chassam Sofer is right about Gvina, but he's wrong about Chalav. Okay, let's read on a little more. Da'afilam yidua ve'asavim asum yishum lo pluk imkein huadin ra'a she'asad ha'v'gochavim hainu t'masnisim pekeim amidin t'nan stam ha'gvinos ha'v'chavim asum. And I bring it right from the lesson of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says Gvina Sakam is always Aser, but Gavi Chalav doesn't say that. It says Chalav Shachavam Kachavim Ben Yisrael Roehu is Aser. Vim Ha Yisrael Roehu Mutter Amad Vinos Em Chalav Ben Ra Asiyas Agvinos Olo Bechein Kalav Oskim Kasu Stama Velo Chilku Begvinos Kimo Shachavam Kachavim Al Kachavim. Right? Elevad Agvinos Al Kachavim Bechol Anin Asur Mashing Yin Chalav. Look at the Shah Gura over there, he says the same thing. Sikhan Yim Gimel as well as elsewhere. So here it seems like whereas the Chassam Sofer basically says Chalav and Vina are the same thing. It's Tavish Minyan. It's also even when there's no practical Shash. The Shach Negra and the Ramah, and the Shach Negra at least, are Machalik between them. The question is how you Yashav this, and I think you could give a couple of possible answers. But all I'll say is that it's not clear, which is, I guess, why it's also not clear La Halacha. Now, what was the Minigal? Was the Minigal Ilam like the, again, we're not getting into Ramosha yet, pre-Rav Moshe, right? Was it like the Pre-Chadash? And again, it's not just Pre-Chadash, it's the Tashbetz, it's the Radvaz and others. Or was it like the Chassam Sofer? So, the Aruch HaShochad, the Chachmas Adam, all say basically that the Minig was like the Chassam Sofer. The Darkei Tshuva also quotes that was the Minig in Eretz Yisrael. And that's actually why Rav Avadia is Machmir. Rav Avadia is Machmir. I think the Chida also says that the Minhag Eretz Yisrael was to be Machmir. So, Agav, Ike had an interesting point. Ike wanted to say, somebody once asked me, Sfardi, should I be Machmir or not? So I said, well, I don't think it's strictly speaking a Sfardi Ashkenazi issue, because among the biggest Mekila were all Sfardim, right? The Fichadash was Sfardi, the Radvaz, the Tashbetz, right? So it's done. Machmir is the Chassam Sofer. But, so, I don't think it's a Sephardi Ashkenazi issue, but if you're like Rav Avadia Nick, you always follow Rav Avadia, so Rav Avadia is Machmir. So I claimed that it is true about his Machmir, it's a tshuva like that in the I'll give you the exact Maramakom. Anyway, and you have a das is machmir, anyway, you have a das is in Dalet Mem base. So it is true that Rav Avadia is machmir, but Ike was saying, if you look, Rav Avadia is machmir because he quotes that the chida says that the man has to be machmir. So therefore, it's not clear that Rav Avadia would be machmir in America, because he's not coming. He's not like machria, like the poskim that are machmir. He's machria based off of the minhag. The minhag in many Sephardi countries was to be makel, like Morocco, Syria. So therefore, could be that Rav Avadia would agree that outside of Eretz Yisrael, where there wasn't a minhag to be machmir, it's not necessarily the case that he'd have to be machmir. Anyway, so. Before, in America, before Rav Moshe had his landmark tshuvos on the topic, most people were still makel. But they weren't makel because of Rav Moshe's theory. They were makel because they thought we really followed the Pichadosh. Rav Henkin apparently said that, and the like. Rav Moshe's contribution here was to say, no, you should really probably be machmir like the Chassam Sofer. But in America, it's mutter, even according to Chassam Sofer. Now that's very chiddush, because the Chassam Sofer's whole point is that we're machmir even though there is no concern at all. Like we said, it's not a practical concern, it's a darsh b'minyan, it's aser, no matter what. Moshe basically has two kulos. The first one is less of a chiddush, and the second one is more of a chiddush. First chiddush is that we see from the Shulchan Aruch that Mirsis is enough, the Shach says Yotzi v'Nichnas is enough, and therefore the governance of Vishen is enough to make it like Yotzik Nechmas, it's enough to make it like Mirsas, and therefore it's going to be Mutter. These are Tshuvos in Yor Deachilk Aleph, Mem Vav and Zayin Mem Ches. So again, that's okay. Now, the truth is that the whole idea that Yotzik Nechmas, which is Shach, as I said, is Matir, would be okay for the Chassam Sofer, it's not obvious that he would agree to that. So I don't think he officially owns the Shach, but that's a halacha that's difficult to understand for the Chassam Sofer. But otherwise, at the end of the day, the Chassam Sofer presumably does accept the Shach, and Yotzi Nechnas is enough, and therefore, if Yotzi Nechnas is enough, so then it would be okay. Now, even according to Chassam Sofer, Agav, now you might wonder, let's say you see Chalav Stam with an OU on it, right? So OU will only get the Hachshir on something if they have Hashkacha, at least Yosef Nechmas. So then, shouldn't it be Chalav Yisrael according to Shach, instead of Yosef Nechmas? So I asked this once to Rabbi Gordimer. He gave me a couple of answers. He said, well, first of all, they don't have Yosef Nechmas. They have Yosef Nechmas on the milk plants, I think, not necessarily on the farmers. And second of all, you know, might not fully, what they do might not qualify enough as full-fledged Yosef Nechmas. I would have had a chance to talk about what you really need for Yosef Nechmas. But anyway, the second more revolutionary leniency that Rav Moshe has is that anytime you have Yediya, Bura, Vadai, Anansadi, certainty, then it would be a mutter, even according to the Chassam Sofer. And here, because of the government supervision, so then you basically have Yediya, Bura. Rav Moshe brings a number of bias to this. And the rayas are actually quite a big chiddush. And in fact, as those who disagree with Moshe, in other words, the Chazon Ish, for example, thinks government supervision is enough to be makel according to Mechadash, but not for the Chassam Sofer. When you look at what the Chazon Ish writes, he does actually seem to be more noted to the opinion of Mechadash, though Baal Peh is quoted as being machmir, only being Mekel, Bishas of Chak, with Avkas Chalak, and the like. But anyway, but basically, Rav Moshe's Vart is that it is a Vadai, and his Rayos are quite fascinating. For example, one of his Rayos is from one of the opinions in Tosfos about the Tevila of Gerim, that even though you don't actually see the Tevila, if you know there is Tevila, that's good enough. Which is a chiddush to bring a Rai for that, because we might not possibly like that opinion processes, we don't. Other Rayos, he talks about a non-Sadi working, even if you need a Dekiyum, he's a lot of Lamdas. But basically, his point is that if you know something 100%, or close enough to 100%, you can never know anything 100%, but close enough to 100%. So, in Halacha, there's no latest Sadi at all, that's Yigei Brura, and that is Chal Yisrael. In other words, again, the Chiddush of Moshe is, you know, he thinks we pass on the Chassam Sofer, and you need Chal Yisrael, but all the milk in America, because of government supervision and fines and the like, has the din of Chalav Yisrael. Now, that, as he said, is Chiddush of Moshe, so she talks, I think, we talked about this earlier in the year, we talked about Moshe, Yom Dei Achil Kalasim and Nondalad, where he says a similar thing for Eid HaChan Yisrael, and even he's talking about a very sad situation over there, about, he said he visited Moscow when there were, this is when he was still in Russia, there were these older parents that were living with their younger children. The younger children were fried. The question is, but they bought them kosher food. They had a kosher dishes. They took care of them kosher. Obviously, there are no halachic ne'amonis. Rav Moshe says that since, as long as you have yudia brua, this is a similar raya, same lashon, as long as you have yudia brua, that is when you need formal eid hachanam yisurin, that's when there's some level of uncertainty. But if you have vade idea, so then you don't need achanam yisurin. And a later true Moshe says this is like only in like where you really, really, really have the idea. It's not like, you know, you're visiting your great aunt Tilly and she doesn't keep kosher, but she tells you she has a kosher kitchen, and like, you know, your great aunt Tilly, she wouldn't lie. That's not, doesn't seem to meet the standard that Rav Moshe requires. But if you really, really, really have a situation where there's no suffix at all, you don't need formal nemanis. Even though Rashi says, how do we know what achanam yisurin? If it wasn't for achanam yisurin, then you wouldn't be able to eat in your own kitchen. Must be. You don't always know if your wife's keeping kosher. It's a hard one. Anyway, so this is a bigger issue, an important discussion, but not for now. So Rav Moshe does say, though, that the Baal Nefesh should be machmir. It's unclear why, because he also is very forceful in his leniency. He's like, he's not hedging over here. He writes that he thinks this is absolutely MS, and he's absolutely, you know, sure that his heter is good. And there has been lots of speculation as to why Rav Moshe might have said that about Nefesh Shebi Machmir, but in our shiur we don't speculate, so we'll go on to the next topic. You know, there's much more to say, but we have to keep moving, unless you have. This is an interesting question about Rove. We paskin, you need Shishim, like the Shach. So the Shach puts that is a Heter. There's also Machlokas by Gvina. Pashtus is Be'etzem. If you're Machmir, you have to also be Machmir by Kalim. And that's really the Ikar HaDin. However, Bavadi has a tshuva to be Mekel by Kalim, because you could be mitzarif the Pri Chadash with other factors. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says, this is what I thought made sense, it's in the Emes Liakim on Shulchan Aruch over here, page 308. He says the reason why it could be Mekel is based on the tshuva, a sugya that we talked about earlier in the year, so I'm not going to get over it again, but about Bnei Rhinus. That's talking about a case where there's a certain type of Chalev that certain places eat, certain places didn't eat. And it could be Mekel by their Kalim. We talked about a machlokas. Is that because of stam kelim einam neyomen, or could it even be mego when you knew it was ben yomo? But at the very least, for stam kelim, you could be mego. So let's say I'm machmir on the chal of stam in America, but I eat at somebody's house who's mego. Then I could use, you know, I don't have to worry about their pots or their dishes or the like. Assuming that they only give me Chalav Yisrael, then I don't have to worry. And that, you know, though again, there are machmirim on that. I think Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky's equation to Bnei Rhinus is very compelling grounds for leniency. Okay, there's much, much more to talk about this topic, but we're going to turn now to Vinisakim. So Vinisakim over here is at the base. We actually had a chance to talk about Gvina several times already. When we did Bas Machalav, we talked about the difference between Keva and Or Keva. Why is it that being Maimed for Or Keva is the veil is a problem, but Or Keva is the Shchuta isn't a problem? The Chiddush of Yimagash, the opinion of the other Rishonim, and the like. But we're not going to go through all that again. Let me just give you a little background into the Mitzvahs. So milk is made out of a number of different things. Milk contains about 3.4% casein, which is a protein, 3.6% fat, and 4.6% lactose, which is sugar, basically. The rest is water. Now, if you were to take milk, you milked a cow and then you let it sit around for 12 to 24 hours, you will notice that the high-fat cream basically will float to the top. That's called a sweet cream, and if you were to churn that long enough, you whip it up, you would get butter, or sweet butter, which we're going to talk about in Sif Gimel. Nowadays, the milk doesn't separate for us because they homogenize the milk, which is to basically break up the fat globules into very, very, very small pieces so it stays mixed in. Now, if you want to make cheese, so basically you need to figure out how to separate the solid curds from the liquid whey. So how do you do that? So there's basically two ways to do that, right? You're trying to get the casein primarily, like we said, the protein, and separate that. So the one way to do it is through rennet. Now there is different places where you could acquire rennet. And we talked about the different ways that they used to do it in the olden days, the ways they would do it for kosher, they would do it for non-kosher, the Or HaKeva. What is the Or HaKeva, or the Keva itself? What's the Keva itself? According to the Rift, Keva is Pirsha. According to Rashi, it's us, it's not. According to Tosis, it depends if it's sell or not. But however you get your rennet, that's one way. That's why you generally make hard cheese. And as we mentioned, nowadays, generally speaking, the traditional ways of making rennet are no longer used. Got maybe some very fancy high-end French cheeses or the like, but you know, Kraft cheese or the like, they're not. There's no other than the Chiddush of Vinisakim, which we'll see. We pass on this a little plug, but there's no practical concern actually that there's kosher issues besides that. And the second way is what's known as acid-based cheese. If you actually go ahead, you take your milk and you squeeze in some lemon, you'll notice that it'll separate. You'll have the whey in the bottom, and like this more solid stuff will float to the top. Soft cheeses are generally acid-based cheeses, like a cream cheese, a cottage cheese, and the like, and we'll talk about those also. They don't use rennet to separate the casein, but simply acid. That'll actually happen on its own. It's an important chiddush we'll get to a little later, meaning if the milk sort of is left out, so as it spoils, it basically produces acid as a byproduct, and then it'll actually separate, right? Like if you leave milk out for a couple of days or weeks or whatever it is, right, you'll notice that on the bottom it's like this clearish, whitish stuff, and on the top there's this gunk. That's basically cottage cheese. Same type of idea. Anyway, I guess there's something else which we're probably not going to talk about so much, but like yogurt or sour cream is basically just cultured milk. That is just with bacteria. It's not actually cheese. So, but it might be similar to butter, Sif Gimel. Okay, so that's the Mitzvahs that for now we need to discuss. So the Gemara, as I mentioned, says that there's an Isser. Mishnah says there's an Isser Vinisakim. And the question is, why is it Usser? So the Gemara says that the Tanaim themselves actually weren't sure about this. There's a story that Rabbi Yishmael was walking with one of the other Tanaim And every time you brought up the question of, you know, what's the reason for Ginnis Aklam, he would change the topic to another topic. So the Gemara says, why? What was he doing? Why don't you just tell him the reason? So the Gemara says, it's Gzeira Chadasha, Ve'en Mefakfakim Ba, meaning to say, until the Gzeira sort of spreads out, if you tell everybody the reason, so then people aren't going to take it so seriously. They'll say, oh, well, I'll just be careful. You know, it doesn't apply to me, or I don't think there's a good reason. Like, so when they would originally make the Gzeira, they wouldn't tell the reason for it. Then once it was more established so that it was okay. I'll just tell you an interesting story. Mamish still is an issue. Somebody told me they were in a certain town, there was a person, a rabbi, who came, and he decided he could be a mako for stam cheese nowadays. Now we'll see. There are some Rishonim that might be of that view, some of the Bali Atos folks. The Rav was famously thought, at least one could be Makel in Boston before there was a BNS Yisrael available. So there are some Rishonim that are Makel, but obviously the overwhelming consensus is to be machmir about that. So anyway, this rabbi one time he gave hachshar in a restaurant that didn't use BNS Yisrael. So another one of the rabbis, the other rabbanim in town, a friend of mine, so they all, you know, they had to say, you know, you can't go to this restaurant. We don't consider this restaurant kosher. So one of the rabbis, a friend of mine, so he gave a shir to Shul. He figured, like, let me explain to them, like, what the issue is and why we can't do this. So afterwards, one of the bottom about comes up and says, like, that's the reason why you're machmir? Well, that's ridiculous. I don't have to be machmir. And as he would have, like, had the Rav just gotten up and said, like, it's us, you can't go here. So, okay, would have listened. But as Rabbi Willie puts it, a little knowledge can cause a lot of harm. So that's what the Gemara was saying. Sometimes, again, my nitiya is always, I'd like to think, teaching everybody about everything is always the best solution. And I think probably there's a lot to that, especially nowadays when they can look everything up on the internet anyway. Keeping secrets doesn't help. And many people won't give any credence to authority for its own sake. But it is something that you have to keep in mind. Anyway, but the Gemara does eventually tell you the reasons for it. The Gemara basically has six possible reasons. So Shimon ben Pazi says it's because of nicker. Right, we're afraid of the poison from the snakes. So the Gemara says, if so, so then Yavesha should be mutter because there's no chashash nicker there, or Yashin should be mutter. Seems like that answer is rejected. Then Rav Yechanina says, Lefi she'ev shebelo tzach tzuchei chalav, that, in other words, in the bubbles, the cheese, there's still a little bit of chalav. So we saw Rashi sees this as an independent answer. And Tosa says that doesn't make any sense because the guy wouldn't put non-kosher milk in it. So this is really because of nicker. The concern is that there's going to be nicker in the little bubbles of milk. This third answer, is the Gemara Rashi, the third answer, Shmuel, says because mamidin osavor kevas nevela. The fourth answer, Rav Malkia, says because machlikin paneha b'shulman chazir. Let's tell you another story. Since we're not going to finish today, please, we'll tell some stories. I met there's a fellow who I forgot his name, but he calls himself the cheese guy, and he makes like high end kosher cheeses. And they have a good hechsher on it. But anyway, so he was giving a talk, and he was telling us about like how he learned the process of cheese making, you know, artisanal cheese making. So he said he was up in a farm, I think, in Vermont, and he told them, you know, his issues with rennet. So there they were actually using real rennet and all the cheeses that they made. So it was non-kosher because of that, he said to them, but that cheese, that's okay. You know, it's not rennet. So anyway, he sees them, like, wiping something on the cheese. So he says, so what are they doing to this cheese? He said, oh, we're larding it. So famish the reasons of the Gemara. Anyhow, Chista says they're mamidinos abachomates, and there's a concern for yain nesach in the vinegar. Agav, those, if we get back to it, those that bring a raya to be machmir for acid-based cheeses against Rav Moshe, bring a raya from here, because chometz wouldn't make rennet-based cheese, it would make only acid-based cheese, right? And still, that's the tzad to be machmir v'nasakum. Sounds like all cheese, even acid-based cheeses, should be b'chalal is iser. We'll talk about what Rav Moshe would defend that. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, so the Gemara asks on those last two answers, Akasha, they say if that's a concern, it should be Asabana. But if your concern is Yainasach or your concern is Arla, so that should be Asabana. We know that Kvinas Akum is Mutrabana, it's Asabachila, and therefore the Gemara seems to reject those last two answers. Okay, so in the end of the day, which answers do we accept? Or Kivas Nevela isn't schlugged up. Achlikin paneh b'shem shel chazir isn't slugged up. And again, tzichtzuchei chalav, whatever that means, isn't slugged up. So the Rambam writes, like the opinion that says, ma'amin nosem orkes nevela, that's what he writes. And then he quotes an interesting machlokas, as I said, an interesting discussion about what would be if you knew that it was... you knew it was done with, let's say, a sovereign or the like. How would you know? Let's even say you could taste it or the like. That's the precision of the Rambam. I'll just read the Rambam. Rambam writes, Uvina zagay mutaros, she'en chalav behem atmeyam is gabein, aval b'nei chachmei mishnah, Gazra alvinas agayim, v'asrua mipnei shemamid no sabor akeva shal shchita san shehi nevela. Then he asks the kasha, it's tamar katan, he says it's a maimid, he has the shtickle of the Nevi Magash. So that's the reason of the Rambam. Other Rishonim disagree. That's the correct reason. Rabbeinu Tam, quoting Tosfos, says no. He says, achshav lo matzinu tam pashat lesek vinas alvichavim. Maybe Venus are actually mutter nowadays. Why? Tatama isru mishem nikr. He thinks that the agreement to the Gemara is because of nikr. And generally speaking, we're not choshish for nikr nowadays. There aren't poisonous snakes going around and sipping our milk and leaving traces of poison. And therefore, maybe it should be mutter. It should be mutter nowadays. Then he writes, later on in Tosfos, Miu b'makoma o shemamidin b'keva, Omer ha-rav ribar Reb Chaim sheyesh tam k'tzas laser mibnei shemohan ha-keva b'ora. So if they do use keva, would still be a problem. But then he writes that there were those who were makel anyway in places where their mamidin osavet prachim. Therefore, it's okay. In other words, they didn't see this as a low plug. They said, no. You know, it's aser kaz, ma'amino sa working with mela. So if you're in a place that they're not, so then it would be okay. So the Balei HaTosfos have two reasons why you could be makel nowadays, let's say in America. Either because the ikar reason is because of nikar, which is in shaykh nowadays, or because the ikar reason is orkes nevela, but in a place like America, where virtually all the cheeses, certainly all the standard cheeses, are not based off of the animal-based rennet, so then it would be mutter. Now, interestingly enough, the Ramban writes that even if you think that the isser is because of giloy, you'd still have to be a machmir nowadays. There's even a place where we drink uncovered water. Another, the Mishnah asserted Vina Sakum. So it doesn't really matter why. It's not like Maya Magulin. Maya Magulin, we assume, was not Nasar Bivinian. Rather, Chachamim were telling us in a place where there's a chance that water might be poisonous, then you may not drink it. But Gvina Sakum, is the Darvish B'Minyan. So it doesn't really matter what the reason is. It doesn't really matter whether the reason is relevant or not. And even if you think, like Rabbeinu Tam, that the reason that we pass on like is the reason because of Nekor, it's still going to be Aser. Therefore, they disagree with Rabbeinu Tam and they disagree with the Bali Atos that we're making for the other reason. And it's clear from Tosos that there were, at least, you know, in the times of the Bali Atosos, Ashkenazi countries, cities, whatever it was, populations that were Makel, based off of this. So, again, according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's mutter because of even where they do use Orchidus and Vela, because the Iker Tam is Giloy. According to Chachmei Narbona, it's mutter because at least in places where they're not Ma'amidin, Orchid is Nevela. But the Ramban disagrees. And also the Rambam quotes this as a discussion. The Rambam writes, Gvinash Maminos Ha'akom Ha'savim Ha'bamei Peros, Kiyot Shavateinim, V'harehen Nikarin B'Gvina. So that means you could tell that this is Gvina that was Hu'amad B'Matzei Shavateinim. Ha'iru Mitzas Goinim Shiasura, Shikar Gvazru Gvina Sa'akom, Bein Shemidu B'Dam Ha'asar, So he quotes that there were some Gaonim who were Machmir on this. And the Rashba rejects the Mekilim very forcefully. And that's the Halacha Paskin of Shulchan Aruch. We Paskin the Maisa that it is Aser, even though we are certain that it's not, there's no technical kashrus issue, but rather because it's Darvish B'Minyan. As I said, I mentioned that the Rav was Mekel, at least maybe Rishas HaTchak. We don't accept that. Even the Rav held that you couldn't publicly say the reason why you were Matir, because it's against Shulchan Aruch. But anyway, that's for a different issue. Now we follow the Shulchan Aruch. That's a little plug. Now, it's an interesting question, how we know that it's a little plug. The Taz says that's because it's Niskar, the Mishnah, Behadia, and the like, but we don't really have time to get into those types of rayos and the Masa Mata. There is an interesting discussion, though. Even if we're Machmir, are we Machmir as a Vadai or as a suffix? But again, maybe we won't get into that. The Shach seems to treat it as Vadai. We already mentioned the Machlokas about how you make Venus Yisrael. According to the Ramah, you need to see it. According to the Shach, you need participation. Really, there's a Chumra and a Kula for the Shach. The Chumra for the Shach is obviously, if a Jew just watches but doesn't participate, it's going to be Aser. The Kula for the Shach would be that, let's say it's Gvinas Yisrael because it's Baila Shel Yisrael, then it's Mutter, even though Befoal there was no Jewish supervision and there's no practical Chashash. It's an interesting question. First of all, how do we Paskin? Not so clear. Among the poskim, the Notav Yehuda follows the Ramah, the Gaon, as we mentioned, follows the Shach. I think the consensus is that we try to be machmir for both views. Aruch HaShulchan sounds more like the Ramah. This makes a very big difference. According to the Ramah, so Yosef Nechnas will be enough to give a Gvinas Yisrael. According to the Shach, you need actually, you know, Mashkiach to participate. So traditionally, the companies, you know, at least with the good hechsherim, would follow the Shach's view, or at least the chumras of the Shach as well. So the Mashkiach would like literally go up and dump the rennet in. An interesting question arises when nowadays it's much more automated, right? There's nobody actually dumping rennet in. So I was told that at the Kashrus Shiurim a couple of days ago, they discussed a very interesting question. So the Mashgiach could press the button, right? The button that inserts the rennet. So what about if he presses the button in the morning, and this factory makes 12 rounds of cheese per day? So does that work? In other words, pressing it in the morning, and then all 12 rounds of cheese are okay, or no, just the first round. So they said that there are some kashrut agencies that make on this, but they all use machmir. It's considered koch kocho, and the like, which brings up a lot of very interesting issues. In other words, you could have argued that nowadays the shach would be a real kula, but as I said, they're machmir on this. Now, what about cottage cheese? So, or again, acid-based cheeses. So, do we say that these are cheese or not? Now, again, in a certain sense, they are cheese. It's the same casein. On the other hand, there's no rennet. So, Rav Moshe has an interesting... sounds like, or even before Rav Moshe, Pashtus is the Radvaz, is machmir. That's not so clear. The Prichadish is Mako. The Machmirim hold that we define cheese as casein, right? The Mekilim hold, no. We define cheese as rennet-based cheese. Raya Lahachmir, as we mentioned, was the fact that there's a tzad in the Gemara to say that it's aser because they use chometz, which would be acid-based cheese. Again, the dechia to that could be that you first add vinegar to culture the milk before adding the rennet. So it's not a raya bura. Another raya, other raya lukan lukan, not getting into details. So Rav Moshe is a fascinating kula. Rav Moshe said, look, as I said before, if you just like leave milk around long enough, it'll turn into cottage cheese, it'll turn into acid-based cheese because of the acid released from the bacteria. Now, if that's true, so it can't be that any cheese that would sort of happen on its own can't be bechlal liyeser. This is only gvinas akum. So therefore, if they just speed up the natural process by adding some acid, so then that can't be bechlal liyeser of gvinas akum. So it's sort of Moshe's makel. And then there's even makel if they add in a little bit of rennet to speed up the process, as long as it's evzagoi, meaning to say that the rennet that they add is not enough to do it on its own. There's a whole discussion about whey, which we're not going to get into now.
isn't yellow cheese, powdered cheese, also made naturally in the keva of a calf?
No. Keva of a calf is not cheese. It is like congealed milk, you know, quasi-digested milk. That's what's called pirsha. If you put that into milk, it will create cheese.
So because of the orakeva?
The orakeva, in other words, remember, the keva is the stomach.
Right.
When the nursing calf milks, so there are enzymes in the stomach that cause digestion. Those enzymes...
Rennet enzymes?
What?
Rennet enzymes?
Yeah. I mean, the enzymes are from what we call rennet.
Right. So why would it make a cheese then?
It wouldn't. It's not like you shecht a cow, cut open the keva, and you see cheese.
I'm saying, why doesn't that happen?
The conditions aren't such that it does that. There's no cheese is something that's naturally made. What would happen naturally, that's something that's made from a natural ingredient, but it's artificially made. What happens if you leave it there is it just digests. It doesn't first turn into cheese and then get digested. Uh-huh. It just digests. Okay, good. So that is... Oh, butter. Right. So the last sif... What time is it? Well, the last sif in this segment is on Hamasakam. Now, it's a cute thing. I wasn't going to get into it too much, but we all know that Avram Avinu served the Malachim Chema. Right? So the question is that butter? So if you look at Rashi writes over there that what is chema? Shuman hachalav shekolta me'al panav, which is cream. It's not butter. Anyway, there's all discussion about that. We're not going to get into it now. So what is the halachic, our issues about butter? So the Rambam writes like this. Hachema shalachom mitzvah sagayinu metiruha. Sharei lo gazru alachema B'chalav hatmei eino umeid. So some are mekel. Why? Because they were never gozer on chema. They were gozer on cheese. Cheese isn't the same thing as butter. And alama, you're worried about b'chalav akum. No, because we know that just like b'chalav tamei doesn't turn into cheese, it doesn't turn into butter either. Umixas agon imasrua mepetzach tzuchei chalav shisharba. Somewhere machmir. Again, you don't really see this in our butter, but in handmade butter, there were little bubbles with some chalav in it, right? This might relate to the two lashonos in the Gemara, right? Remember, this debate might be the two lashonos in the Gemara, as the Gemara points out. Shriyakum shebchema eno ma'urav, ma'chema kedei shivatel b'miuto. So we talked about this earlier when we did the Taz. Remember the question of Yavesh Belach? Over here, do we say bittel? On one hand, it's nicker, because it's in these little bubbles. On the other hand, you can never get it out. They're too small, they're too it's too sticky or whatever, soft. So, and that's the machlokas, the Rashba disagrees over here. Now, the Rambam, though, continues, and he writes, Yirali, shem lagav chemin ogaimu vishla, even if all the machmirim, but if the butter is cooked, then it's going to be mutter. Why? Because whatever tzichtzuche chalav that might have been there are already bata, once it's cooked, it's melt. It's melted. And therefore, it's mutter. He says it's asher because of kalim. It's one of the places where you see the Rambam rejects the concept of sam kalim shenum yelman. But that's not for us for now. So that's what the Rambam says. The Rashba says it's asher even it's nisbasho. It sounds like he thinks it's bechlal the din of minas akum. In other words, he sees gvina more broadly. And Rabbeinu Peretz and the Rush sound like it's mutter. Though they note that there's a minhag to be machmir in some places. So there's a big discussion in postgame about this question, and it's also not so clear how you paskin. And there's a tzad to even be more mekel nowadays, because of course our butter doesn't really have the concern of bein yitfi. So therefore, maybe it should be mutter, even according to the Rambam. The Chachma Sadim writes that the common practice was to be lenient on this issue. And many contemporary poskim are mekel. Somebody from Eretz Yisrael told me that even though Yeshiva is makbid on Chalav Yisrael, they're mekel on Chemas Akum for this reason. So there are people who follow that practice. Others are machmir. Others say no. We follow the machmirim, and it's going to be aser. The truth is, there's two reasons to be machmir. Number one is maybe the guy didn't intend to turn the milk into cheese, and therefore it would be aser. And again, there's also a minhag to be machmir. Fine. So this is a discussion in the poskim. And again, there are different views on terms of how we paskin. It's also a big discussion over here, which we're not going to get into, which is in terms of kavana labatel, by intentionally cooking the butter. And here, too, you see an interesting machlokas between the Rambam and the Rashba. Good. So that is the Simon Kuf to Zion. Let's see how much time do we have left. A couple more minutes. Sorry, it's Simon Kuf to Vav. So going on to Simon Kuf to Zion. So I can't find my notes for this, but we'll just mention some of the highlights. We'll do it quickly. So we already mentioned that Chazal said you shouldn't have Mashkin Shinez Galu. Why? It's aser because of the concern for poison. But the Shulchan Aruch writes, "V'achshav she'en nechashem mitzuyin beineinu, it's mutter." Now, it's not so clear why over here we don't say Darshan Binyan. You know, normally we say Batal Tam Lo Batal Kan. Over here we do. Tosfos and Beitza sounds like it's because in the first parak, sounds like it's because, since it was a Hulth concern, we assume it's not a Darmish Minyan as opposed to an Isser concern. Tosus, later on in Sechel's Band, doesn't hold of that because he applies a similar reason to the issue of clapping and the like. So it's not entirely clear from the Rishonim what the reason why we're Megill. But one way or the other, we say there's evidence that it's not Darmish Minyan because, the way the Gra puts it, that's what it sounds like, is Shalom Nigzra L'chatchila El Mimakom D'yesh Bo Mishon Giloi. He brings a raya from the Gemara of Odazara, the Yayin Mevushal, Ein Bo Mishon Giloi. In other words, the fact that we have so many exceptions to this rule, like Yayin Mevushal or the like, shows us that it wasn't Darmish Minyan. Rather, it was only Aser in the place. In other words, what the Gemara tries to do, he doesn't just say it's because it's a health concern. The Gemara tries to bring raya and shas. There's lots of raya and shas that this rule has a lot of exceptions, and that is evident that it's not a Darshan Minyan. Now, even though the Gra over here, and really nobody on the pigeon, the Shulchan Aruch says that there's any Indian to be Machmir at all, it's quoted in the Maaseh Rav, Os Tzadi Hei, that the Gra said it was Aser, and he said he was Nizhar Ba Me'od Me'od. In other places, the Gra sounds like the reason why he thinks you should be Machmir is because, based on Gemara Ne'ervin, that there are many reasons for the Tekanas of Chazal. Not just the one that they explicitly stated, and therefore you should be machmir. It is very interesting, though, that the Gra on Shas, and on Shas on the Shulchan Aruch, doesn't quote that at all. So, generally speaking, almost all people are Mako on this, though, again, there are those Gronics who are machmir. Now, then there's an interesting discussion over here in the Taz Sifkat and Beis about being Mevatel Davar Sheyesh Bo Sakana. Does it follow the same rules as Isser? Let's say if we're dealing with the question of fish and meat or the like. Or do we say, no, Chamir Sakana is Misura, and like Sheshim should have no relevance for Sakana? So this is a discussion in Machlokas cited in Taz Sifkat and Beis, which is a very interesting halach l'maisa discussion.
Is it a specific concern? Why can't we test it scientifically?
So it's a good question. Rav Kook writes in the Tshuva that you can't test it because scientific testing could only prove that in the population studied it's okay. So let's say you study 10,000 people. So maybe but the sakana would still be a problem if it's 1 in 100,000. So you can never prove something is not dangerous. You can only prove things are dangerous. As Rav Kook's theory, it's a chiddush because, you know, lechora there should be a certain level of evidence that's enough. Others say, well, you can't prove from Gaim, but still you could, that's famous view of some sofer. They have different constitution than us. But even so why don't you bring a proof from Jews? Others say that the sakana is not just physical, there's also a spiritual danger, which obviously can't be demonstrated scientifically. And finally, you are correct that there are those mekidlim, we've talked about the opinion of the Magen Avraham. And though generally speaking, let's say for fish and meat, we're machmir, when we starif the mekidlim, when there are other tzadim lahakel. There's a long pesach tshuva about bittul, which is worth looking at if you have a chance. But we don't have time to talk about it now. There are, of course, all sorts of other issues that come up from sakana that are discussed in the siman. One of them is, let's say, food that's under a bed, because rach ra shishor aleihem. There's discussions in the poskim about under what circumstances that's mutter. Are you makel kiss betoch kiss? Let's say somebody, you know, they're in camp and they keep their food in their suitcase. This food's in a package in a suitcase under their bed. Would that become aser? There are mekilim there. If you want to look, a good place to see excellent Maamar Komos on these topics is a sefer called Sefer Shmiras Haguf HaNefesh. You get it in the library, and he quotes all the different shitos and the like on these types of. These types of shilas, things like garlic being left out, onions, etc., overnight. It's a very fascinating, the Shulchan Aruch talks about the concern about stuff being for the Tkufa. He quotes the Taz that Ibn Ezra thought this was Nichosh Ba'alma, but still, you should still be Machmir about it. Why?
What was the Tkufa?
Tkufa is like the equinox, I think. No? Generally speaking, though, it's very important to be healthy and not to do dangerous things. Asr l'smach al hanes. Sif Vav talks about Balthashaktu. Don't eat things that you find disgusting. And that it's also an interesting discussion. What's the gather of this? Sidereiser, Sidereabanan. Sif Zayin is a very important discussion which comes up many times, that Medaktikin are machmir for Mesukanis. Okay, and even more important, the Rama writes in Sif Zayin, Beimashara Bachacha Misvara. There's no rayus, just misvara. Filonim sadin befeirush. Then bal nefesh lo yochal mimenu achumra, not to eat it. At the same time, if you look at the Pesach Tshuva, according to the Sfas Mincha, he says that misha rotz lachmir lino b'yisem davar shalom atzino shechmir bar morai. If you don't mind, says batul shishim o beklisheni. Right, klisheni I don't understand. The Rashi was machmir, but anyway, the point is, if you say you're not going to rely on rov or things that are established in a Gemara or the like, that it's mutter, so then that's a terrible thing. It's like minas. Why? That's a schar b'fseido. It's because you're denying the legitimacy of the halacha and the halachic process. So the only time where there's an inyan to be machmir is when there's no raya to be machmir, mekel. The posek misfara, well, it's machmir, but where there's a clear-cut minhag or a clear-cut reason, so then we don't do that. Okay, so tomorrow, Rez Hashem, we're going to do Simon Kuf Yud Zayin. That we're going to do pretty quickly. Spend like 10 minutes on Kuf Yud Zayin, and then we'll spend like 10, 15 minutes on Kuf Yud Ches. I think we'll probably have to skip Kuf Yud Tes, as wonderful as it is. And then we'll spend the rest of the time on Shilas Kalim.